Jason, I kind of throw you a curve there. I got the second scripture first. If you'd put the other scripture up there, Judges chapter 13, verse 1. I chose these two passages. These are the only two men, Samson and John the Baptist, that in the Bible, other than the Lord himself, and he was the Lord Jesus Christ, a virgin birth, but these two men were anointed in the womb to be special servants of God. No other men were done that. Special for the service of God. We're bringing a message this morning on the subject of how the Holy Spirit gives us power. And we sing about that Pentecostal power. As I've said throughout this series of sermons, we don't need another Pentecost. One Pentecost, one Bethlehem, it's all been done. We don't need to be baptized again. We were baptized with the Holy Spirit when we were saved. That's how we got saved. But we need to be filled constantly, and the way we get filled is to empty ourselves. That's what these altars are for. That's what your time alone with Jesus is for, to let him point out what we've just sang about, what's wrong in your life, and empty yourself of that, and then God can fill you with the Holy Spirit. So first of all, we want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. There is the power. We sing that old-time power. And it's not that we need some special event or some special music of working us up and into a frenzy. It is all we need is simply to come to God. And sometimes, as we see in the case of Elijah, God speaks in that very small, still voice when we are still before God and alone with God and willing to let God speak whatever he wants to say to us, rather than we give God a timesheet and he only has a few minutes to deal with us and then we'll be on our way. God very simply remains silent in those times. We see in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2 that this special Spirit of God will convince us of sin. And we need to be convinced of sin. I'm convinced that too many times in the church, and the Bible says, let judgment begin at the house of God, that we don't realize or see, or it's been practiced so long, that some of the things that we think there's no harm in is sin unto God. And all sin is against God. So the Holy Spirit will convince us of sin. He says in chapter 11, verse 12 of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom. We've talked about that many times. He said, if you lack wisdom, God giveth to all men, but he's going to give it by his Spirit. And if we're not allowing the Spirit to take control of our lives, then he's not going to tell us, and so we have not the wisdom of God. And we sometimes listen to the wisdom of the world with its great swelling words and all the things that they do to try to manifest what they think is wisdom. But the wisdom of this world is not the wisdom of God. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right, but the end of that way is death, and we're following that way. We see the death of a nation, the death of the old-time church, the death of the things that God and the goodness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the salvation of God to descend upon his people seems to be lacking because we don't have that spirit of wisdom and then of understanding. There are so much that we don't understand, but if we start with what we do understand, you know, growing in grace is like going through school. You have to start out in the kindergarten. You can't jump into the 12th grade and say, I'm here for the quick course, or I want to go to college and get it all at one time, and then I'm going to be a real disciple for Christ. That's foolishness. That's foolishness in any kind of education. We have to be educated by the Spirit of understanding of God. He says when we get saved, he gives us a mind of Christ. That means to think like God, to understand like God. And he's going to speak so we understand. And he wants us to speak to him so he can speak to us. And he wants fellowship with us. He desires that. But we've got to get the roadblocks out of the way. We've got to get the sin out of the way. So he's going to convince us this is sin. We've talked about this a few times in Hebrews chapter 12 where he says, the weightier matters. I think that's what disturbs us today. He will cleanse us of sin and the weightier matters. The weightier matters are sometimes what we see as good things, but they're not the best things. We choose things on what our desires are and what we like and the way we want it, not the way God. There is an importance of how God does things and how what God uses and the way God uses it. We were discussing in the Sunday school this morning, the blood was not going to be in Cain's religious worship. Just a simple fact. He didn't want to recognize the blood of God and providing a future Savior that would give the blood. And many people don't want to do that. There are certain churches that are taking the blood out of the hymnals. Military chaplains don't want to talk about it anymore. It's amazing we send men off to die and give their blood, physical blood for our country, but we can't let them sing from a hymnal about the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. So he gives us a wisdom, he gives us understanding, and he gives us a spirit of counsel. We don't need the counselors that are out there counseling from the world. I'm sorry. They can give you a lot of good things, and some of the points may mean a little here and a little there. But there is a direct counsel from God, and with people who know God, that you go to, and you get the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, and we need that more than any time today. How can we, without a blush, without a sense of guilt, without a sense or a cringe, a whinge of any hurt, see and talk in conversations about the things that we're talking about transgender and homosexual, and talk about it as if it's normal and that these people have rights and we've got to back up and back up of our position and not say anything offensive and learn a whole new language and go through sensitive training. We're now in our colleges and universities, we're having sensitive training. In our military, we have the sensitive training. They spend days, they had conferences, and they have to talk to them about this sensitive training. And it's all about how we're going to speak and what we're going to say and terminology that we're going to use to those branches of people, because we do not want to be offensive. The Bible says it's an offense to God. And what's an offense to God should be an offense to the Christian people and to the church. Amen? We should be upset and disturbed and concerned. And we should not be tiptoeing around those issues. And notice, and might, which speaks of the power, and the spirit of knowledge. Not only does he give us wisdom, but the knowledge to know what is wisdom and what isn't wisdom. What to flee from. What to have no part in. He says to the church, we're to be separate. We want this idea that we got to get along with everybody. No, we don't get along with the devil's crowd. We don't get along with the things of the world. We don't get along with what God's against just for the sake of having peace. And what they mean, this left crowd, whether it's in the church or the news, what they mean is, I want you to sit down and listen to what I have to say and agree with what I say, and you shut up or go along with me. That's their whole game. And the churches that are liberal churches that are plagued with it, and excuse me, many of them start with a B, too, and have become Baptist churches that are telling us, we just got to get along. We got to do more to get along. Not with the devil or the devil's crowd. And the fear of the Lord. We need an old time fear of the Lord. God is angry. I don't know if you realize that or not. When I see the angry clouds for the storms that we've had recently, I'm thinking about the storms that are billowing up in heaven's gates and rolling out. That is preparing God and his anger for this world and his wrath that will come upon us and upon the world in which we live and the sin that we have begot and the children of future generations that's going to be there. As I've said many times, we can't understand the grace of God until we understand the wrath of God. To know God is to know his wrath. I believe the wrath will bring us. When I got saved because I didn't want to face the wrath of God. I knew nothing about the grace of God. I knew nothing about being a Christian. I knew nothing about walking. But I knew the way I was walking, one day I would wind up in a devil's hell and die for eternity. And I did not want that. And that was what brought me to salvation. I worry about a crowd. I worry about a person who just tiptoed down the aisle and said, I accepted Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. But what was it drove you? Was it just to say, I want to be a part of the church? I want to go to heaven? Did you realize there's another place that you go if you don't go to heaven? And that if you didn't come to him and say, oh, God, save me from a burning hell, what did you get saved from? You got saved for heaven, but you got saved from the hell. And that has to be a part of it. We don't preach on hell much more. We just live like it, act like it, and do it, and then expect God to take us all to heaven when we die. He says that he also has the power to convict of sin. Not only to convince us that it is sin, but then to convict us that that's wrong. The Spirit of God will do that. But you can't do that if you don't have the Spirit of God and you don't listen to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God tells two things to the Christian and the unsaved. To the Christian, it says what you're doing is wrong and here's what you need to do right. The only thing that the Spirit of God will say to the lost man is you're lost and you need to get Christ as your Savior or you're going to burn in hell. The Spirit of God don't tell you. Now, there's many spirits, and John said there were many, and Paul said there were many, and there's many going out in the world last day. Oh, the Spirit told, be careful what the spirits are telling you. Do you know what spirit? He said, try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. Tried by this book. Does it agree with what God said? The Spirit of God doesn't tell you to do things that God's already said is wrong and sin. It doesn't tell you to go out here and hop into another marriage and leave this marriage. It doesn't tell you such a thing as that. And I've had that said to me by various people. That's why I use that illustration. So we find that the Holy Spirit of God will convict us of sin. John 8:7. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted. Here they're going to judge someone for the same sin that they're committing. God will begin to show us in our life, how can we help lost people? How can we help unsaved people and deliver them if we are not delivered from the same sins ourselves? We have to have a time of soul searching. We have to have a time like Elijah when we get alone with God and say, God, open me up. We sing about it. Search me, O God. But whoa, wait a minute. Now this little corner over here, there's some things I do that some people don't approve of. I want to hang on to those things. And I want to hang on. We open up our heart's door. We give him the master key ring. And we say, look in every closet, every crevice, every part of my life, everything that goes on, my conversation, what I say outside of church and other places as well, my feelings, my thoughts, know me, and then tell me what you don't like, and let's clean it up, God, and get it out of my life so I can be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we want, filled with the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
As I used the illustration with a jar of rocks as we used to put in the science class and hold it before the kids. Is that full? Yeah, it's full. Pour some water in. It's not full. It can still take some in. You can't mix God and the world. You can't expect the Holy Spirit. God will not mix with a box of rocks. God will not mix with that. He has to have completely emptied and clean. And if I empty that jar of all those rocks and then pour water in it without washing it, you say, wait a minute, there's dirt in there from the rocks. So God is going to not only empty us, then he's going to wash us. Cleanse me. You sang it, didn't you? Cleanse me, O God. We need to be cleansed inside. We empty and confess the sin, but now we need to be cleansed within. Cleanse me. Make me usable. Make me a vessel unto thy use, O God, that you might fill me with the Spirit and the power of God. Then we see, thirdly, the Holy Spirit gives power to baptize us and fill us. And as we've said, when we got saved as children of God, God's Spirit took our spirit and baptized us into Christ. And that's a one-done thing forever. Nothing can ever take that away. But as Christians, if that's happened, if you're not saved, that hasn't happened. You need to be baptized by the Spirit. One baptism, one faith, one Lord. Amen? The Bible's true. You don't get many baptisms of the Holy Spirit or anything else. One baptism. But you get many fillings of the Spirit of God. He'll fill us in Romans 8:9. But ye are not of the flesh. He's talking to the child of God. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There are people that teach that. They teach you get saved and then a little later you can get the Spirit of God. No, it's all one happening with God. When that baby is born, he's got a brain, he's got 10 fingers. I mean, if everything's normal, he's got everything God wants him to have. He don't know how to use it yet, but he's got it. That's us when we get saved. We got it all. Everything God had to give, he didn't withhold a single thing. He gave it to us. And when we study this word, when we read the word, we're getting learning that we need to be able to know how to use the Spirit of God. Amen? That child can run away from home. That child can get dirty. He can do everything, but he still belongs to those parents. We still belong to God. The surest way to know that you're a Christian, buckle your seatbelts. The surest way to know you're a Christian is to do the things you know that God doesn't want you to do. And that you get a big old whipping for it, that proves that you belong to God. Because if you can live a life of sin, and sin here and there, a little bit here. By the way, it's not our big sins that gets us. It's the little ones. We don't leap into sin. We creep into sin. Each time we sin a little, then it takes away some of that conviction. Because we're just drifting farther and farther back from God. And then another little sin. And after a while, we just don't hear the voice of God. And after a while, God just doesn't knock anymore. God just says, we're going to send him to the whipping room. We're going to send him to give him the stripes. And God believes in chastising his children. And if God doesn't chastise you for your sin, then you're not God's child. That's very simple. Amen? See, the Bible's not a complicated book. It's very plain. You either are or you aren't, right? You either belong or you don't belong. And he says that in Hebrews. We know that we're the children of God. He says no chastisement is joyous for the season. Nobody enjoys it. Your mama used to say, this hurts me as much as it hurts you. You thought, well, but not the same place. But you don't know how much it really hurts until you're a parent. And then you realize how God's heart is broken when you sin and when he has to chastise you. But God's going to do it if you're his child. So he takes care of that. He gives us that power. And he said, if you don't have it. Then in verse 10, he said, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. When they lay the dead body down, we talk about these funerals in the next couple of days, that has freed the man of God that was really in these men. No more are there. Just a dead body that they lived in until they got rid of it and now live in total freedom in the Spirit of God. Fullness of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. To know as we are known. To know and see the things of God. The beauties of God. And the Holy Spirit baptizes us and then fills us as we allow God to fill us. God's going to give you as much of the Spirit as you need when you allow God to do it. But when you do not allow God, and you don't have to sin a great big sin, as I said, we creep in. Just say, well, I only have time for a second or two. Give me a verse, God. Or God says, that's how much you think of my presence? That's how much you think of my power? That's how much you think of me? Then just forget it. God is not going to be pushed around. God is not going to be put on hold. God is not going to wait on the line while you take care of all the other phone calls you got. God says today is the day. This is the day that we got to begin walking and listening to God. Or you have a little itchy feeling about somebody over there. God says we're to love one another. Why did he say it so many times? Because he knew it'd be hard for us to do, and he kept repeating it. We have to do it. If we want to work as an individual in a church, some people say, well, I just don't feel at home in your church, Pastor. I'm sorry. You've got to get with the program and get with the Spirit of God. There is joy. It says on the day of Pentecost when they were in one place, they had one idea. They wanted God. They wanted God more than anything else. When we want that, and we have very little time. When you stop and consider what you're going to be hearing throughout this week. When you hear the world crashing in with all of it. And you hear all the tales. By the way, we were doing a little bit unplanned street preaching. Marilyn and I were this week. We was down in front of the post office. We happened to meet down there. And we got on the subject. And she had both hands in the air. And I did. And we began to talk about the things of God and the sins of this town. And people were walking around us and skirting around us. But we kept sending out the Word of God. Amen. So it's okay wherever we are. But we tell God, I want to be filled. And I'm willing to spend that time. It takes time. Be still and know God. Stop from all the things. Jesus would say to his disciples, let's go away. Let's come apart. Someone said, if we don't come apart from the world, it's not long till we come apart. Our homes and our lives are in dreadful need of getting alone with God, spending time with God, just God. Yes, I believe in fellowshipping with someone and meeting for a fellowship with a person. But I believe there's times when just you and God need to eyeball by His Word each other and let God speak to you about what He likes and what He dislikes about you and your ministry and your work. And it's not about the deacons. It's not about the preacher. It's not about anything else. It's about you and God, and God will do it, and a good old-fashioned cleaning job. When you go into the bathroom and get ready in the morning, it's you in the bathroom, right? You get out the soap, you get out the good smell stuff. God's got the smell of the Holy Spirit, and He wants to put it all over you so you'll be an attractive Christian for God, that you'll be clean before God. You're not a show-off. You're not a say, look at me, I got Spirit of God. You don't have to. When you got the Spirit, people will say there's something different about that life, something going on there. There's something inside, and it shows through from God. And it's not about you. It's about God. We see in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God has got so much. Going deeper, the old timers used to sing, dig a little deeper in that well. get down where the cool water tastes good, where the things of God are real. Go past the surface. We have many of the Psalms relate us to the sheep, but the 23rd Psalm talks about the shepherd, how the shepherd goes down and dams up the stream and makes the water still so the sheep can come down. They don't like the rushing water. God don't like us rushing and grabbing a little bit. God wants us to be still before Him. And as the shepherd would dam up the stream and pull the rocks around, the pool would become quiet and still. And the sheep would look in and see their reflection. Then they would begin to taste and drink. When you get alone with God in that Word, you're not going to see what's wrong with everybody else. You're going to see what's wrong with me. Here's me, my face, my image before God. God wants to tell you, and God needs to tell us. As I've said many times, we go to the doctor and he says, you're wonderful. Your scales show you're about 100 pounds overweight, but you're wonderful. Your blood pressure's way off the scale, but you're wonderful. You're saying, that guy's a liar. I got a headache. I got a backache. I want to go somewhere where the doctor don't tell me what's wrong with me. Well, why would you go to a church? Why would you go to a place where they're going to tell you, oh, it's all love and peace. It's wonderful. We're all in love with one another. Just love the homosexual. That's all you got to do. Just love them. And listen, we need to love their soul, but we need to hate their sin. But they're giving you all this loving, feel soft, nice, feely good, and you're okay, and I'm okay. And isn't it nice we're okay? Aren't you okay today? God bless you. We're okay, blessed to have you. It's a wonderful brother having you in our service this morning. That's just the stuff that goes on, and call it Christianity. And some preacher needs to be thundering, you need to get right with God. Come before the altars of God. Rejoice in the things of God, not the things of the world. Spend some time with God. Oh, I can't do that. I got too much going on. Guess what? They don't have too much going on in hell. There's one cry, oh God, oh God. The rich man said, Abraham, send somebody. Send that Lazarus. Just let his finger dip it in some water. And after he's taken it out, just that finger that has been cooled by the water, let him come down and put it on my parched tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. They don't have time to do all the things that we're too busy with that we can't spend time with God. And we're going to substitute a little bit of time with God. He says in verse 18 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, and be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He's talking about how people get controlled by drink. He's saying, be controlled by the Spirit of God. Let it direct your step. It will not lead you wrongly. It will lead you right. Then we see, number 4, the Holy Spirit gives us power to walk in the way of the Christian life. Gives us that power. God asks, you're saying, Pastor Hodge, you're talking about stuff that's impossible. I know. But all things are possible with God. There is a way He wants you to walk. He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When God has saved us, there's a difference in our walk, our talk, and everything about us. Then we see number 5, the Holy Spirit gives us power to raise us from the dead. We can stand before the caskets this week of those that we know that died in the Lord and say we know that the power of Jesus Christ will resurrect the body, that He's taken the Spirit to be with Him. We know we have this blessed assurance. We don't have to doubt and think. The old preacher was preaching a service one day and he said, I think he's where I hope he's not. And I'm afraid many times we come to that kind of a place. Oh, can you preach Dad's funeral? Well, was your dad a Christian? I don't know. I don't know. He went to church, and I think he belonged to the Masons. I'm not sure if he was a Christian or not. How are you going to preach a funeral like that? How are you going to tell people, I guess he'll go into purgatory, and I guess he'll be transferred from there to a better purgatory. Then, I don't know, wherever the Pope is, if he gave him the last rites, maybe he'll take him into heaven. And people actually believe such foolishness when we have the Word of God plainly says, as the tree is fallen, so shall it lay. If a man dies saved, he's saved. If he dies unsaved, he's in hell. I don't have any other place to put him. Right. Guy said to me not long ago, you put my brother in hell. I don't think my brother belonged in hell. I said, I didn't put your brother in hell. If he went to hell, he went there on his own. I simply said if he wasn't saved, that's where he was, because you didn't know if he was saved and nobody else knew if he was saved. What was I supposed to say? Oh, you can make it a little bit nicer. That upset my mom and dad. I know it upsets a lot of people. Get upset now before we get that place. Amen. Amen? Amen? Let's make sure that we know that we know that we know. And then he says in number 5, the Holy Spirit gives power to raise us from the dead. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit and dwell in you. One day he will take your carcass and raise it and bring it out of the ground and change it into a body like his. That's what the Bible says. And think of this terrible thought. He says there's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. The unsaved, if they've died in a cancered body, will be brought forth. And the Bible, Jesus spoke about a place where the worm dieth not, that skin worm that eats at the flesh and never finishes eating and eats throughout eternity. You say, you're making me sick. I hope it does make you sick, so sick of sin. You want to go out and see one else, someone else get saved and know you're saved for sure. The worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. It never gets cool in hell. They can never reach for the AC. Lawyer told me one time, I don't believe in hell. I said, sir, that doesn't turn the air conditioner down one drop. It is still hell, and it's still hot, and it's still fire. Well, you mean literal fire? I mean literal fire. That's what the Bible says. Have you seen it? I said, no, and I don't expect to. But if you don't get saved, you'll see it. And the Bible says that the devils believe with fear and trembling. They know there is a God. They know there is a hell. They're smarter than most Christians on that. Many of our preachers trying to guide us around the hell and around the fire, if there's a hell, and around the eternity of hell. Oh, that's another good one too. Well, if I go to hell, I'll burn up and it'll be over. No, 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 no. He said forever and ever and ever, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It never ends. The torment goes on and on. Go to the worst insane asylums or wherever you might find people that are out of their minds, and you'll not be compared to how awful hell will be. May I say to you this morning that the Holy Spirit does this and so much more. We finish up our 50 days, our 7 services of talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you again, so many of those charismatic churches say so much about it, the rest of us are afraid to talk about the Spirit. It is a real thing. And we don't need 10 backflips in the church. We don't need 10 times speaking in the tongue. We need to empty ourselves of sin and pray the Spirit of God come upon us, and the Spirit of God will. He's not looking down from heaven and saying, oh, I wonder today if I could pour out some. God's eyes is searching for that child of God that's been saved to continue filling him and filling him or her. And God doesn't care about your education. God doesn't care about your wealth. God doesn't care about your knowledge, how smart you might be. God only cares that you're willing to say, I want to be empty. And if you are unsaved, you don't even know what this is about. You don't know the freedom from sin and guilt and the conviction of sin. God wants to do that for you. In Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Have the Spirit of God in all these things. Verse 32, and he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. Oh, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is wanting to give the Spirit to the church and individuals of the church. God wants to. God's not, you've got to keep God nudging. God, please give us a Spirit. Please give us a Spirit. As I shared with you, the little boy saw the old man. Every revival, the old man would go up to the altar and he'd get down and he'd pray at every revival service. Oh, God, clean out the cobwebs of my heart. The little boy had watched that go on after revival after revival. One day he was up there after so many times of that, the little boy went and knelt beside him. He said, oh God, don't do it. Kill the old spider. We need the spiders taken care of in our life. We need the destruction of sin and the rejoicing with God. Would you stand for prayer, please? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee this morning and thank You that every child of God that's in this room has the Spirit. But we all need abundance of so much more. We need to empty ourselves of selves. We need time alone with God. Lord, I pray for that one that may be here this morning that is without Christ, never been saved, never been baptized and brought into the family of God, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that today they would realize the awfulness in waiting. The Lord said today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Not putting it off until we realize we're in hell. Be too late. I pray, though, that they would take this moment to say yes to Jesus. Lord, I don't want to die and go to a terrible hell. I ask you to come to my heart and life and save me and give me the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray you do work in our church, in our life, and help us to be a lighthouse in our community into this lost and dying world. While every head's bowed and every eye's closed, as the instruments play for just a moment before we begin to sing, in the quietness of your heart, if you need something from God this morning, you need decision-making power about things in your life, you need to change some things that God's already shown you that is wrong, now's the time. Commitments made at an altar like this is more likely to be kept than those that we say, oh, well, I'll get around to that later. It's getting late. We need to go. We got things to do, important things. Nothing's more important than your soul. And if you're a child of God, that soul that you may come in contact with tomorrow, but you won't have the voice, you won't have the words, you won't have the knowledge because you're not filled with the Spirit of God. It's that important in your life. And if you're here without Christ today, please, please, I beg of you, the people in hell are concerned that you'd come. The brother was concerned that his five brothers would go get saved. I don't want them to come in this place of torment. There's no friendship. There's no fellowship in hell. While we wait for just a moment more, if you need to come, that's what this altar's for. That's what this message was for. That's what the money to pay the light bill and the air conditioning bill and everything that's paid to keep this church doors open was for, so that you might come to Christ. Because one day this will all be naught, and your soul will be the only thing that's worth anything. What would a man give in exchange for his soul, the Bible said. Are you going to give a little time, a little more sin, one more night with the frogs? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? $560 is our hymn of invitation. As we sing, if you still have a decision to make, would you please come? Is your heart right with God? play for one last verse and stanza chorus. Maybe you're here and you have a request for some friend, some need of your own life you need prayer with. You just raise your hand and say, Pastor, remember me in prayer. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless those hands. God bless you. Yes, let's see those. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Don't forget the day's schedule, and be sure to check out the list if you can help with the funeral meal back there to sign up for that. And you're invited to all the activities going on today as well, and praying for the family and the members and giving our Christian fellowship and love to them as well. We thank for having them. I'm going to ask Brother John again, since he's here today, if he would have our closing prayer. God bless you as we go on our way, meet our duties for Christ, to be a witness for him in Jesus' name.